Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Okay, then at 6 o'clock, Michael Pelka is going to take over because I got to get to the Jack Carr event, obviously. But we're talking Columbus Day. We're talking Israel. We're going to talk Krasner. We're going to talk Jack Shadarelli. We're going to talk about it all today, George. It's not going to be enough time.
I'll tell you, there's
not
so going to
be enough time.
We could do this for weeks.
Last time you and I co-hosted, because you were incredibly generous to MCLEF, the Marine Corps Law Enforcement Foundation, you donated to be my co-host. Today you're just doing it just because I have the decency of my heart. But no, in all seriousness, I respect you tremendously. I think you are a local hero for everything you've done for the Italian community, for Columbus, for fighting for the police, running statewide, trying to help boxers avoid the concussions. I mean, you know, you've done it all. But I want everybody to know all the great work you've done for Columbus and Columbus Day. So thank you for that,
Rich.
Number
it's,
one.
It's a pleasure. And coming from you, it's an even bigger pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
And I got to know you on the campaign trail. And, you know, since then, we've crossed circles many, many times. What I particularly love about this city, Philadelphia, Jersey, this whole region of the country is robust Italian heritage and culture and food. You said you could use some Bragiol.
I could.
Sunday night last night, and we did make an ice gravy because it had meat in it. I debate Dom Giordano about this all the time, you know, gravy versus sauce. And my rule is that if it's a pomodoro, it's sauce because it's just tomatoes and basil, and that's okay. That's fine. But last night was a true gravy. But what I do is I make it with my kids, and Sunday nights we take out the nice dishes, the vino,
now,
which
what,
the kids don't
what
have.
What time but, you know, do you eat on Sunday?
5 o'clock.
Because, you know, typically they eat like 3 o'clock, 3:30. Yeah, but I guess you were at a soccer
We had
day.
Soccer at 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
if it were up
yeah.
to me, it would have been 3 o'clock. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
But, you know,
exactly.
We make homemade wine, too, George. You ever get into homemade wine?
Well, I've had some. I've never made any, but I've had some really good stuff.
Right,
and by the way, they
bottle.
Just had the Vendome wine celebration in South Philadelphia this past weekend. I think it was on Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, you want to talk about some folks that are serious about winemaking.
Yeah.
You got to go to that wine. That you got to make that wine stop.
I'll put that on my calendar for
oh,
next year.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean?
It's something else. And, boy, the enthusiasm. I mean, I get hundreds and hundreds of winemakers down there, and everybody's trying everybody else's wine. And by the time you get to the end of the evening, there's a lot of red wine flowing.
Well, you're supposed to spit it out, but I think that's a sin.
I don't
want to do that. You know, they have the spittoons, but no.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Well, you know, I knew once an Italian-American that was studying for sommelier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have different levels of sommelier. There's 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And to get to 3, you have to be blindfolded. And you have to be able to taste wines from all over the world. And you have to identify the kind of grape, the country it came from, the time period. So on and so forth. You know how far I'd get on that test? I'd get to about the second glass. Wow, this ripple is great.
Ripple and Thunderbird. That's
oh,
our,
my goodness. I grew up on Ripple.
That's
Ripple and Windex.
You just had to make sure the Ripple was chilled. You
yeah,
don't
well,
want
you,
that
you,
room
you,
temperature.
What you
know
did
what I mean?
Is you open the cap, you give it a little air.
Yeah.
You air it out a little bit.
Yeah, air it out.
And then chug the goddamn thing.
I want to play a clip for you. This is the president. This is from today. He was with the Pakistani prime minister who nominated him for the Nobel Peace Prize today. And we'll talk about that as the show goes on today. But here's the prime minister of Pakistan. Take a listen.
One of the greatest day in contemporary history. Because peace has been achieved after untiring efforts. Efforts led by President Trump, who is genuinely a man of peace, who has relentlessly and untiringly worked throughout these months, day in and day out, to make this world a place to live with peace and prosperity. I would say that Pakistan had nominated President Donald Trump for Nobel Peace Prize for his outstanding, extraordinary contributions to first stop war between India and Pakistan and then achieve ceasefire along with his very wonderful team. And today, again, I would like to nominate this great president for Nobel Peace Prize because I genuinely feel that he is the most genuine and most wonderful candidate for Peace Prize because he has brought not only peace in South Asia, saved millions of people, their lives. And today, here in Sharm el-Sheikh, achieving peace in Gaza is saving millions of lives in the Middle East.
Now, George, last night, as I mentioned, made a nice big Sunday dinner. We have dinner. It should have been five, but it was closer to six by the time, you know, I had to get everything together. And I turn my phone off on Sunday nights. I try to make it all about the family. I also want to teach my children. My son, Patrick, is almost 11. Claire's 9. Reagan's 5. So it's important for me to put my phone away. So to be honest with you, when I woke up this morning and I saw the president addressing the Israeli parliament, and I turned the television on, and I went, oh, my gosh. Unbelievable, right?
It's Rich, how he didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize stupefies me. I mean, I'm going to give you a sports analogy. President Trump, the bottom of the ninth, the seventh game of the World Series, they're down three runs, two outs, 3-2 count. He hits a grand slam. And they give the most valuable player award to the second baseman who had a single in game three. I mean, what kind of selection process took place that didn't honor President Trump with that? You could say all you want about his personality, his rudeness, his this or his that. But the man has prevented a lot of wars, a lot.
Yep.
And as the president of Pakistan just said, India and Pakistan were ready to go at it. That would have been a horrible...
Two nuclear powers.
Oh, my God. You know what? That could have been a catastrophe of epic proportions. He saved that. He's literally, personally engineered what's going on in the Middle East right now. And he's doing everything he possibly can with the Ukraine-Russian thing. How that doesn't get you the Nobel Peace Prize, I don't know. They must have Tampon Tim on the selection committee. I don't get it.
Well, it's funny you mention that, George, because the Nobel Prize winner, Maria Corina Machado, actually says, and she's the Venezuelan opposition leader, on Fox News, dedicating her award to President Trump.
Yeah.
It's cut 14.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
They decided to dedicate it to President Trump because he deserves it. Because not only has he been involved in only a few months in solving 8 wars, but his actions have been decisive to have Venezuela now at a threshold of freedom after 26 years of tyranny that have destroyed the lives of millions of Venezuela, destabilized the region, and undermined the institutions in the United States, because having Venezuela as a safe haven of the enemies of the United States and using our territory and our resources to hurt the American people and American institutions is certainly a threat to the national security of the United States and the security of the hemisphere. But President Trump has been very clear, courageous, in terms of dismantling this criminal structure. And on behalf of the Venezuelan people, I reaffirmed our gratitude and our commitment to this cause for the whole America. So I insist he deserves it.
I mean,
that's a class act, Rich. That is a class act. And, you know, she's right. He did deserve it. But I guess if you're not going to give it to him, she's a class act.
Yeah. Yeah, I respect that.
I mean, how can you do more than that? She receives the Nobel Prize and says, you know what, with all due respect, President Trump should have had this Nobel Peace. That's a strong, confident, competent person that can do something like that.
And somebody who understands that it's bigger than just her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we want presidents to be peacemakers.
We should bring her into Pennsylvania and run for governor.
She sounds really
smart. Well,
you know what? Maybe we'll have her run for Senate
we have two Republican senators, so let's not be too quick to get in another senator.
I tell you what, I was watching yesterday Fetterman all over Fox News talking to Maria Bartiromo and saying over and over again how important this deal is and how he can't believe other Democrats are not giving him credit for this. Fetterman deserves credit for that.
He does. And the shutdown, because, you know, John Fetterman has got to know he's going to get primaried.
Yeah, oh, big time.
And, you know, they're already lining up the people, the money, the whole thing.
Is it going to be Connor Lamb or is it going to be that other guy? What's his name?
I think it's going to be Connor Lamb.
Connor Lamb,
I think, frankly, he's going to emerge as from the primary, and I think he's going to be the Democrat running for U.S. Senate.
You think he'll beat Fetterman in the primary?
I do.
Because the Democrat Party's so friggin' woke.
And, you know, the other thing is, does Fetterman even run for attention? I mean, I don't think he's enjoying the experience, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think he's enjoying it. I think he sees, like this shutdown, for example, he sees the absolute futility and childishness that's going on with this shutdown. And who's paying the price? Yeah, you know, it's like when SEPTA tried to cut all the service back and everything. Who's paying the price?
You went after them.
The taxpayers, the citizenry. We pay the price for this shutdown. You know the kind of craziness that's going on out there? They're firing people. People are working. They're not getting paid. I mean, it's horrible.
The only thing I'll say, though, is Fetterman still votes like a Democrat. He talks like a Republican, but he votes like a Democrat, except on the shutdown. He did vote to keep the government open.
Well, let me tell you something.
But even just talking like a Republican is enough to get you a primary challenge.
I'm going to give you a good example of the man Fetterman has turned out to be. He had a primary opponent way back when for lieutenant governor in Jeff Bartos.
Mm-hmm. Great
guy. Jeff Bartos was just nominated to be the ambassador to the UN. You know who supported him thick and thin? John Fetterman.
Democrat.
Who he ran against. Fetterman, I think, has turned out to be a man of his convictions. Don't always agree with him, don't always agree with his vote, but he's calling it out like he sees it, and the Democrats are not happy with
him. They can't be happy with him. Bartos is a terrific guy. I heard him on Dawn Senzel's show today. What's interesting is that I saw this now. Fetterman is garnering support from Republicans in the state. 62% say they approve of Fetterman's job, while 21% disapprove. And my producer sent me this. A Quinnipiac University poll out earlier this month showed that Fetterman is underwater with Democrats. 54% of Democrats said they disapproved of the job Fetterman is doing. That's a big shift right there.
Rich, I've been in rooms where the Democrats stand up, and they are very blunt about it. That is not who we voted for. Mm-hmm. We voted for a progressive Democrat that was going to fight Trump tooth and nail every step of the way, and we have to bring him down. That's what's going on in the Democratic community as to John Fetterman. And to his credit, he's standing up. He's taking the fire.
I tell you, I appreciate the fact that we're exposing right now that Schumer is responsible for this, because they have this No Kings rally coming up, George, this No Kings nonsense. So we're there on Friday at the Wildwood Pier, right? And I'm doing the show live. We got thousands of people there. Jack Cittarelli's on stage. He's speaking. We took his speech live on the show. And they're flying a plane overhead. Like, when you know, you're on the beach, you see the planes go by, right? Usually they're happy hour.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of music or something.
Houlihan's Irish pub, whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly, right? They got a plane flying by with a banner on it, and it says, "No Kings, vote blue." And I'm thinking, who's their target audience for this? It's been a friggin' plane. There's nobody on the beach. So they try to convince us who came to this rally that we're going to vote blue, No Kings.
Can I tell you a crazy story?
Yeah.
When I was running for mayor in 1999, one of the things I wanted to do during the summer to try to keep the campaign going, I hired a plane to fly up and down the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. And my slogan was "Life After Rendell, Baquetto in 99. So I'm sitting on the beach, and I'm looking, I see Houlihan's go by, and I see this plane go by and that plane go by. Well, where's my plane? You know, my plane crashed.
No way.
On the way over.
Stop.
It's crashed. And I said, boy, my campaign's in trouble. That's
a bad sign.
That is not a good sign. And not a good look. That's a true story.
Being superstitious Italians like we are, you probably threw a lot of salt over
your my
shoulder
goodness.
After that, right?
Oh, I said, holy cow, am I in trouble on this one?
Plane crashed. Was everybody okay?
Sam Katz eked me out and then just barely lost. I don't know if you remember. Mm-hmm. He barely lost to John Street. It was an open seat that year. John Street was running as city council president. Sam Katz was running. He lost by only 10,000 votes. Mayor of Philadelphia, a Republican. That's all we can get now is 10,000 votes.
I know.
In the mayoral.
I know.
I mean, it's just.
Now, we got an election coming up for district attorney.
Yeah. Is that what we're calling it, an election?
It's. You know, people that live outside of the city, and obviously this station's 50,000 watts. We reach 37 states in Canada. We got a lot of listeners outside the city. Everybody says the same thing. They say Philadelphia gets what they deserve. But what I don't understand is they elected Sherelle Parker, who sided with the cops, put in a great police commissioner.
Yep.
The police are very happy. Morale is on the up, except for when they have to deal with Krasner. And then their morale plummets again. I don't understand why the city keeps electing this guy. Because, I mean, for the same people that elected him, Helen Gim should have won, God forbid. But she should have been the Democrat nominee
for
mayor,
right? Could you imagine? Oh, my goodness.
I can't imagine. Remember she went after the Wheelie food truck?
Oh, my goodness.
Those poor people? She went after a food truck because she thought the name was racist.
Let me tell you something.
Has wheels.
Larry Krasner is not dumb. He has a certain core constituency. And he knows exactly how to talk to him. He knows exactly how to bring him out to vote for him. He knows exactly what buttons to push to scare the hell out of him. He's an evil guy. He truly is evil. He's the worst thing that's happened to Philadelphia in a century. Our crime is through the roof. If you believe the crime reporting that comes out of the Krasner office, you ought to have your head examined. They twist and turn and lie about what the crime rate is. Our streets are never more dangerous than they are now under Larry Krasner. But he's smart. He's evil, but he's smart. Mm-hmm. And he knows how to get himself elected. And unfortunately, with the registration that we have in Philadelphia, which is an 8-1 Democrat advantage, it's just you can't get rid of the guy.
And your guy, Baquetto, who calls it like he sees it, you've said very positive things about several Democrats today on the show. So you're not just a guy who's going to automatically savage somebody for their party affiliation, which right. I respect about you. I really do. I'm the opposite. I typically bash everybody who's a Democrat, but that's why I'm immature and you're matured. You know,
is that the kind way of saying I'm getting really old?
No, I'll probably be like this when I'm 82. I'll still be one of those bastard Democrats. No, but I mean, for real, I admire the fact that you can call it like you see it, and you can say, to Democrats who deserve it, you say very positive things. And I think that's the way it should be. There's nothing redeemable about this man. He's a monster. He really is. He's a monster. And you know, when you got guys like, you got the former district attorney of Philadelphia, Seth Williams, who's being called a racist by Larry Krasner for locking up people.
Let me tell you what he
Michael
tried to
Nutter
do.
Said it was the height of white privilege for Krasner to let all these people back on the streets to terrorize black neighborhoods. Yeah, Michael Nutter said that.
Michael Nutter, he knows what's going on. Let me tell you what Larry Krasner did in the first case I had against Larry Krasner was years ago when he was trying to free Mumia Abul-Jamal, the convicted murderer, the stone-cold guilty murderer of Officer Faulkner. Cold-blooded murder, there's no question about it, and he was trying to get the guy out. He wanted it to be his trophy exoneration. It was going to make him a star in the progressive movement, not only nationwide, worldwide. And we put a stop to it. I filed a King's Bench petition in the Supreme Court, and one of those judges who's now up for retention, Justice Dougherty, called Krasner out on the carpet. And if you want to read a scathing opinion about the way in which Krasner is conducting that DA's office, go read Dougherty's Supreme Court opinion about how Larry's operating. It is astonishing what was in that opinion. And I want to tell you something. Justice Dougherty is also one of those kind of guys who it doesn't, you know, Larry's a Democrat. You know, normally you won't get a Democrat to bash a Democrat. Not Justice Dougherty. Justice Dougherty calls it as he sees it, and he's a smart guy, and he's a good man, and he deserves to be retained. But Larry Krasner is a cancer on our society. I mean, I hate to use such strong language. It's really unbecoming to use such strong language.
Fits.
But it,
yeah.
Rich, it's just I see it up close. I've got five cases against him now. Every one of them is fraudulent, crazy stuff that he and his office are doing. It's unthinkable.
I mean, going after Bologna, Inspector Bologna, who was a terrific guy, very fond of him, and the manner in which he did was disgraceful. And you know what it says to me? Because my dad was a cop, and I always thought about being a cop, and he always told me not to be, so I didn't. Also, I could never have survived the academy because I'm weak. Physically, never could have done it. But I always think about these young cops, to look at that and to see the way they go after the top guys.
Why would you want to be a cop?
Why would you want to be a cop?
Why would you want to stay in the force?
Right. And why would you, knowing that if you do what you have to do, you're going to be on the firing end of the district attorney?
You're the target.
Yeah.
Joe Bologna, and I represent him, as you know, Rich, and we have a federal civil rights action against Larry Krasner pending in the federal court, and that weasel Larry Krasner tried to get out claiming prosecutorial immunity, which federal court judge, in a 50-page opinion, rejected hands down. But Joe Bologna is out there doing his job. And
so when he had the protests on the parkway, right, during the summer of love.
Krasner made up evidence, falsified evidence against him, indicted him in one day, took him to trial, put his family through hell. He was getting death threats. You know, Joe Bologna and his family had to move out of Philadelphia. They were getting so many death threats.
Unbelievable.
He put that family through hell. And the man, all the man did was do his job and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was guilty of. And Larry Krasner went after him with a passion. Joe Bologna was found not guilty in 11 minutes by a jury.
11 minutes.
Rich, it takes 3 minutes to walk to the jury room and 3 minutes to walk back. So out of that 11 minutes, 5 minutes, they knew he was innocent.
Unbelievable.
That's how much deliberation it took. And the day he walked out of there, it was like he was set free. He was set free. And now we're going to hold Larry Krasner accountable for that. And I've got other cases that I'm holding him accountable on.
When you say hold him accountable, I mean, what could Joe get? Because I know it's bigger than just money. It's vindication.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. And it's making Krasner understand that this is a system of accountability. Krasner thinks he can do anything he wants. I'll give you just one easy example, Rich. He will not prosecute any retail theft of under $500.
What if it's 502?
He's not doing
that
either.
Are they supposed to walk around with a calculator and make sure that they don't go over?
He won't do it. Now, the legislature in Harrisburg has said this is a crime. And the legislature has also said that county municipal district attorneys are supposed to enforce the criminal laws that we've legislated. Mm-hmm. He just up and decides he's not going to do it. And what's the upshot? People walking in the store. I mean, you can't go into a CVS now and buy a tube of toothpaste without having the woman come over and open up the glass and so on and so forth.
It is such a pain in the ass to buy anything at a pharmacy.
It's ridiculous.
A freaking deodorant.
Soap.
Like one day I forgot to use deodorant. Now I keep a little travel size with me all the time in my bag just in case. But I'm nervous all day. I'm like, do I stink? I'm smelling my pits. I go into a CVS. It takes 25 minutes.
To get a thing of deodorant. Those types of real-world impacts.
And what happens now? We don't have a Macy's anymore in Philadelphia.
They killed a kid in the front. There was standing at the front door. We don't have a lot of Wawas downtown anymore. We don't have a lot of things downtown. Who could take that kind of lawlessness and put up with it?
See, you and I are just BSing here, and I blew through another break, but it's fun hanging out with you. I love it. This is great. We're just shooting the yes, as we call it. What's the Italian term for that, you think?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right, it's something for you to think about during
the
break.
Yeah, I'll think about it over the break.
Think about that during the break. As we continue live here, as we are live from the Bucks County Community College, the Zlock Performing Arts Center. Great people here hosting us. It's a beautiful venue. Tonight's our Big Politics and Pints with Navy SEAL Jack Carr on the 250th birthday
of the
United States
Navy.
Wow,
what a show that's going to be.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
I'm so looking forward to meeting him.
You're welcome to stick around.
I want to meet him.
Good, excellent, good. We want to see you for that, so that'll be fun. And you could join us. We have some tickets available, 1210WPHG.com. It's going to be a hell of a show tonight. We'll talk about a lot of great things. But it's about Dr. Mike Veneria, my friend and my dentist, and why he's my dentist. Well, first of all, my Italian mother, Mama Zioli, discovered him for our family. And Dr. Mike, for 12 years, 12 consecutive years, has been the dentist that other dentists send to their patients. So now imagine you got to go through really complicated dental work. You need an implant. You need new caps, whatever it is. Dr. Mike's your guy. Dentists send their patients to him. So the experts call him the expert for a reason. 12 years in a row for a reason. And there's two offices for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. You don't want to go to the closest dentist. You don't want to go to these pop-up chain dental offices. You see all their big fancy TV ads. All that money they're charging you is going to their big TV commercials. You don't want that. What you want is you want to go see my guy, Dr. Mike. He's my whole family's dentist. And just last year, he gave Bridget a beautiful smile upgrade. I don't want George to think she didn't have a beautiful smile before. She did, George. Believe me. But it's even more beautiful now because their veneers had to be replaced with beautiful caps, and it looks absolutely, absolutely beautiful. So reach out to them today, VeneriaDental.com or 856-786-2020. My friend, my dentist, and the undisputed, that's a boxing term, right?
Absolutely.
Undefeated, undisputed master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do? Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Philadelphia's own Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, my friend.
Well, hello, Rich. This day was a win.
And I want you to say hello to George Bacchetto, a man I know you know, a big friend of the show and of the Italian-American community.
Great to be on with you, George.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to speak with you as well.
And he's also a frustrated Eagles and Phillies fan. So the three of us together right now, we got a lot. Do you want to tell Dr. Coach
days.
What you were going to tell me about the Eagles?
Well, you know,
He's got some gossip for us, Dr. Coach. You want to hear
it? Yeah. I was at the Unico dinner this past Friday night. You know, that's the annual dinner where they raise all kinds of money for Italian students, scholarships and everything, outreach programs. Excuse me. And I ran into Sal Palantonio there. Sal Pal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he knows more about football in his little finger than I'll ever know. So I said, Sal, I said, what's going on with the Eagles? And he leaned over and he said, George, football is an emotional game. You got to have the emotions or you're not going to do it. He says they're flat. There's no emotional buy-in there. He says they're in big trouble emotionally. That was his insight into it. And I said, wow, you're right. I mean, that really is what it's about. You go out there flat. It's like anything else. You know, if your heart's not in it, you don't do your best.
Yeah.
And that's his analysis.
What do you think, Doc?
Well, I mean, it's as good an explanation as I've heard. So we'll just see what happens on Sunday and hope for the best.
I hope so.
I mean, the Phillies was just so heartbreaking.
Oh. It was heartbreaking.
Oh, my goodness.
But the L.A., I mean, you know, I knew as soon as we were going to L.A., we were in trouble. That's how I felt. I said, oh, man. And that stung, too, Dr. Coates, because my father-in-law is a big Dodgers fan. So that really hurt.
Brutal.
But today was a big win on the world stage. The president, I woke up this morning and watching him there addressing the Israeli parliament. And just give us the overview of just how consequential today is.
Today was massive, and it's on several different levels. The first, and we've talked about this, was the president's ability when he was coming back in to identify the hostage issue as the stopper that had to get dislodged before we could get on to anything else, that it was just totally paralyzing Israeli decision making. And he had seen during the Biden administration, the President Biden trying to sort of make a big deal out of the hostages. At first, there were some deals that got done, so he would be talking about the hostages. That I think that Hamas dug in, realizing that the hostages were massive leverage for them. It wasn't so much of a success, so they just stopped talking about them. It was like they stopped existing between late January and probably the election of 24. And then when the president was reelected, before he was inaugurated, he started talking about the hostages and saying, you know, this isn't bring them home. This is let them go. Mm-hmm. And made it a signature issue. And Hamas knew he was serious. And so we started getting back to deals earlier this year. But then I think he really believed that until we got them all out, we were never going to be able to make progress. And that became his focus. And by George, he did it.
He did it, and the question, of course, that the naysayers keep saying is, and I'll ask the question, will it hold?
Well, we don't know. And, you know, this is a great first step, and it is simply just a good thing to get the hostages home. That is inherently good for humanity. So even if everything goes to hell in a handbasket tomorrow, he did a great and good thing for Israel and for the world. So, you know, that should not be seen as contingent on anything that happens in the future. But then the other thing that happened today, which we haven't had before, is this remarkable display of unity of the mostly Muslim, but also a number of European and even our Canadian friends showed up at this, you know, very hastily put together conference in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, and all signed off on the president's 20-point plan, which the Israelis have also signed off on. And there was even talk this morning that Prime Minister Netanyahu might go to that. I'm sort of glad he didn't. I think it would have just added more drama, and I think we can take this in steps. But the very fact that that was being considered was terrific progress. And so Egypt has offered to host a reconstruction conference, which I think is when the sort of brass tacks will be down in terms of who's going to pledge what. And I think you can expect the president to drive a pretty hard bargain, particularly with our Gulf friends, in terms of what they're willing to invest in Gaza. They've talked a lot about their commitment to the Palestinian cause and how important it is to them, so they can bring their big checkbooks with them and demonstrate that by, you know, pledging the billions that are going to be needed to rebuild Gaza.
On that note, we have a clip of that. Let's play. This is cut number three, Sean. President Trump announcing humanitarian aid is pouring into Gaza and the people in this room paying for it. Cut number three.
War in Gaza is over. Humanitarian aid is now pouring in, including hundreds of truckloads of food, medical equipment, and other supplies, much of it paid for by people in this room. Civilians are returning to their homes. The hostages are reuniting. I mean, it's beautiful. I'm just watching it backstage. The level of love and sorrow, I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing when you see they haven't seen their mother, their father. They haven't seen them in such a long time. And they lived in a tunnel, a very little tunnel, very deep. And the level of love is just incredible. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's, in one sense, it's so horrible that it could have taken place. But in another sense, it's so beautiful to see a new and beautiful day is rising. And now the rebuilding begins. The rebuilding is maybe going to be the easiest part. I think we've done a lot of the hardest part because the rest comes together. We all know how to rebuild, and we know how to build better than anybody in the world. I want to express my tremendous gratitude to the Arab and Muslim nation.
Now, Dr. Coates, the New York Times is hitting him, saying he wasn't speaking about rebuilding Gaza. Well, what the hell did we just listen to?
What the New York Times means is a mystery. There were a lot of really hot takes today. We had Anthony Blinken claim that this was all just because of the wonderful work they had done in the last year and a half of the Biden presidency. Then we had Christiane Amanpour come out and say that she thought that the hostages were probably better treated than normal civilians in Gaza. The derangement with it, which these people can't seem to give President Trump credit for anything. I mean, Hillary Clinton came out and gave him credit for it. So the rest of you can fall in line and just say this is a good thing for humanity. And yes, he's talking about Gaza. And yes, he's going to put a ton of pressure on our Gulf partners to, as I said, pony up. And you know, that's going to be a big bill. You know, I think a $5 billion investment would be the bare minimum that you would be looking at from those guys. And it's probably going to be a lot more over a lot more time. But again, they're the ones who profess to be the guardians of this Palestinian cause. So they should be the ones to pick up the bill, certainly not the United States.
Now, you know, George is here today because we're talking about Columbus Day, Dr. Coates, and he's the man that fought to unbox Christopher Columbus in the city of Philadelphia.
I remember that well.
You remember that well when they put Columbus in a box?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Today, the parliament in Israel started chanting for the president today. This is cut 26, the Israeli parliament. What is the exact term for the Israeli parliament?
The Knesset.
The Knesset. This is cut 26.
Only a partial list, but it's enough to affirm what I've said time and again. Donald Trump is the greatest friend that the state of Israel has ever had in the White House.
It's a pretty big deal.
Unbelievable.
Right?
I mean, if that's not appreciation and gratitude, you'll never hear it. I mean, that's just something else. But, you know, And I'd like to ask the doctor about this too. You know, the one thing that I hope comes out of this is that Israel in particular, but other countries too, shore up their borders so that they never have another October 7th. I mean, what happened on October 7th was inhumane, obviously, but the guard was down. The fortifications weren't there. The readiness was not there. And I hope that we never have to go through another October 7th again, because it was just so, so inhumane and disastrous. And I hope whatever else happens in this peace deal that's happened and whatever developments, I hope we don't have to see another October 7th like that again. I know there are evil people out there, and I know there are people that would like to do another October 7th. But I'm hoping that everybody, all our leaders around the world, have learned that lesson. You can never let that happen to your citizenry.
What do you think, Dr. Coates?
No, I think that's a critical point. And we had one of our visiting fellows at Heritage, David Aronson, was at the Knesset today. He used to work for the Speaker of the Knesset, so he was there for the speech and gave us just some wonderful color about his, just the visceral love in that room of all those people across the entire Israeli political spectrum chanting for Trump. There was one protester, it was unrelated to Trump, who just was making a squawk. But everybody else, including Yair Lapid, the head of the Israeli opposition, had a really wonderful moment with Trump. And so if Trump deserves a peace prize, it might be because he brought all the political factions of Israel together, which I don't know that anyone else has done. But it's, you know, it's beautiful to see. And also an important point that he doesn't coddle Israel. And he certainly isn't in any way subservient to Israel. He treats Israel like a major ally, which they are, and an important country, and that they are their, to your point, George, they are their sovereign country. We are our sovereign country. We sometimes will disagree, and that is fine. And so we have our disagreements in private. We show a unified front in public. But that is a really important point, because it was his leverage over all the parties that got us to this happy day. And you know, certainly in the roughly 20 years that separated 9/11 from October 7th, we saw some terrorist attacks in Paris, for example. There were some horrible ones, San Bernardino here, Orlando. But on this scale, you know, it's different. And so hopefully it's at least 20 years until we have another one. And more hopefully, maybe that unity we saw out of the Muslim world on display in Egypt today, they come together, they admit they have a problem, and they take steps to reverse it.
Hey, Dr. Coates, I wanted to ask you a question, because I heard along the way that President Trump has done a shout out to the Knesset and to the folks in Israel about pardoning Benjamin Netanyahu.
He did.
Now, is that something that's within their system? How would that work in Israel? How does that come about? We know how it comes about in this country, but how would it come about in Israel?
Well, how it comes about in Israel is that Israel's a parliamentary system, obviously, with the prime minister being the head of the government. The head of state is an appointed figure. In this case, his name is Buzi Herzog. He is a man of the left, but he is a good friend. I always see him when I go to Israel. But he's the head of state. So Herzog is the one who controls the pardons. So that's what the president said during his speech, as he was looking down at Buzi and he said, "You should pardon Netanyahu." And
do you see that as a
moment.
Do you see that as a possibility? How do you view that?
10 hours ago, I would have said no, but as I said, the love for Trump right now, and I mean, and make no mistake about it, Netanyahu is also extremely popular in Israel right now. And the fact that he is spending a disproportionate amount of his time in court defending from these corruption charges is a disservice to the country. And it's been going on for 5-6 years now. They can't find anything. It just is sort of a vendetta kind of case. And so I do think there would be a strong argument to be made in Israel that given how hard the prime minister has worked his service to the country since October 7th, maybe the man deserves a pardon.
I think he does. And you know, you could say what you want about how tenacious he's been, but nobody, and I mean nobody, worked harder for his people than Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, it was just every day he was pouring his own blood out to try to do whatever he could for his people and to get those hostages out. What a horrible, horrible fiasco he faced, and how magnificent he performed for years now.
You know, Dr. Coachman, you were in the White House as a Deputy National Security Advisor to President Trump, and you worked closely with Jared Kushner on the Abraham Accords. And to see Jared up there today with Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, and, you know, the president gave a lot of praise to Witkoff, obviously, and he said he had to bring in Jared's big brain. How much of the Abraham Accords now, going forward, because it seems like, and we've talked about this before, what I like about Trump here is he's saying to these countries, instead of killing each other, why don't you all make money together? What a novel idea, right,
Gee,
Dr. Coe? Instead of killing each other, make money.
That's what he did with Pakistan and India.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, one of his four national security advisors during the first term, I worked for all four of them, said to me at one point, you know, our foreign policy is simple. We just want to get along with people and make a little money. And that was an entirely accurate assessment of the Trump doctrine, is let's get along, let's make some money, and then leave us alone, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is absolutely right.
I'd like to ask Dr. Coates one other question, because it's, you know, it's been such a ballyhooed thing, and I would really like to get the insight. So is the UN working these days? Is it broken? Did they play any role whatsoever in bringing about this peace plan? What's your assessment of that?
Yeah, they played a role, and it was a counterproductive one. The UN is beyond broken, George. What they managed to do last month when they had the United Nations General Assembly, when all the heads of state come to New York and clog up all the traffic and everything's a nightmare, what they did was try a whole bunch of people who should have known better, some of whom were in that room today, Keir Starmer, Mark Carney, the Prime Minister of Canada, Starmer's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Emmanuel Macron, the President of France, all went to the podium of the UN to formally recognize a Palestinian state, which just makes this problem worse. Hamas, it wrote them a thank you note. They issued a public statement saying, thank you, you have affirmed our desire to fight on. And meanwhile, the president on the margins of the UN, certainly not in through its official channels, was meeting with all those Arab heads of state who were in town and said that, you know, that was where he and Secretary Rubio did all the hard diplomatic work to get to this 20-point plan that he could agree to and the Israelis could agree to and the Arabs could agree to. First time in history that's happened. That shows you just how feckless the UN is. They were doubling down on the failures of the past while the president was forging a path to the future.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Geez, you know, when I was growing up, Dr. Coates, I mean, the UN was like so revered, and you know, they were such a magnificent organization.
We collected on Halloween for UNICEF.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
I mean, what happened?
We all had our little boxes to put coins in.
Hey, well, I'll tell you this: a very dear friend of mine Jeff Bartos has just been appointed and confirmed as the ambassador of the United Nations. And he is an amazing individual, and he's pro-Israel, as you could imagine. And if you ever get the chance, you should reach out to him, because President Trump has given him, you know what his primary charge is? Fix the UN.
Fix the UN. Well, I'll tell you what, George. I went to high school with Jeff Bartos. We went to Lancaster Country Day School together.
Oh, boy.
And, yes, and then he went to law school with my sister. And my husband, George, who is the chair of the Commonwealth Foundation, has worked with Jeff in Pennsylvania politics. So we were in the way back bus. And he, I worked closely with him on his confirmation. He actually called me today and to talk about this. So I could not be any more supportive. I think it's great that he's up there with Tammy and Ambassador Waltz. And
talk about a big job. Yeah. Fix the UN. Holy Christmas.
It's a big job. But we stand by at Heritage. We actually have, both in our legal center and in the Davis Institute that I run, a number of specialists on international organizations in law, and they're already in touch and feeding ideas in. And so we're going to be front and center with Jeff, supporting him. Ambassador Waltz and the whole team.
That is so reassuring to hear, because we need it. We really need it.
Maybe we even bring back those little boxes to put our money in.
I'll tell
you. Dr. Coates, thank you, my friend. Congratulations. I know you worked very hard on this behind the scenes as well, and have for many, many years, your advocacy. And, of course, the book to read, The Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can
Win. I'm reading that one tomorrow.
You got it.
I'm getting
fantastic.
That book tomorrow.
It's a must read. Dr. Victoria Coates, follow her on X at Victoria Coates, and I imagine she'll be all over Fox News tomorrow. Am I right?
I'll be on Laura tonight. I was on Varney this morning.
She beat you to the punch.
One up me always. She knows that one in particular.
I'm going to tune into that too.
She knows that one in particular gets
I'll
me
tell
right
you.
Here, but it's okay. Today you deserve
it's
it.
It's a competition.
Yeah, it really is. Dr. Coates, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. Two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VeneriaDental.com. Big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead, live from the Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College. It's Paquetto and Zioli. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.